30. Elder. Amy ignores the cold stares from the people in the ward common room as we make our way to the elevator. She keeps her chin raised and avoids eye contact, and to me she looks like a queen, but I can tell from the whispers that follow her that the people around her view her as something very different. My jaw clenches. Eldest did this. The elevator dings as the doors slide open on the fourth floor.
Did you hear that?
Amy asks as we walk down the empty hall.
Hear what? Harley asks.
Amy shakes her head.
Nothing.
I guess it was just my imagination. Still, she looks at the doors as if she's a little skeeved out. I open the door at the end of the hall, still unlocked, and cross the room to get to the second elevator. The smashed alarm box is gone. Eldis has probably taken it to the shippers to see if they can fix it.
So, what are we looking for?
Harley asks as the elevator descends.
I'm not sure.
Amy shifts on her feet.
A clue. Something.
I think about the last time I was on the floor with the cryo chambers. The only evidence that I remember seeing that proved a murder had taken place was the body of Mr. William Robertson. There were no other clues, but I don't tell Amy that. When the elevator doors slide open, Harley strides out, looking around eagerly. I follow. Amy doesn't step out until the doors start to slide shut again.
Where's the hatch with the stars?
Harley asks eagerly. Amy steps forward. She grabs my sleeve and tugs at it until I turn to face her.
Where are my parents?
She asks very, very softly. I don't know, I say, but I can look up their location for you. Amy bites her lip, shakes her head.
No, that's okay.
She looks around with her wide, round, scared eyes.
Not this time. Later.
Can we look at the stars first?
Harley asks eagerly.
There's a hatch down there, I start to say, but before I can finish, Harley takes off down the rows to where I've pointed.
I turn to Amy.
But he doesn't know the code to open the door.
She throws me a half smile.
Let him figure it out. Why don't we try to find something here that can help? Can you show me where Mr. Robertson was?
We go down the aisle of cryo chambers marked 75 to 100 and stop at number 100. Amy reaches toward the empty tray with shaking fingers. I wonder if she's imagining her parents on that tray or herself. Before her fingers actually touch it, though, she snatches back her hand and holds it against her.
So, what should we be doing?
I ask, trying to distract her from whatever thoughts she's having that are making her draw into herself. Amy steps back, looks at the ground. Her eyes scan the bare, clean floor, then rove over the clinically neat room.
I don't know what I expected to find, Amy says. I guess I thought this was like a cop show, and I'd come down here and find a fiber that I could match to Eldis's shirt, or a blood drop we could DNA test. But I don't even know if you have DNA testing here.
The biometric scanners read DNA,
I interject, but she's not listening to me.
Or maybe a giant fingerprint.
Her voice trails off.
Harley's art supplies, she says.
She looks me fully in the face.
Harley's art supplies.
What?
Harley has brushes, and he sketched me with charcoal before he started painting me. He's got everything I need.
I don't know what you're talking about,
I say, but I'm smiling too, because she's gotten back that spark of life she'd lost when she first got off the elevator.
Harley, she calls, jumping up and heading toward the end of the aisle. Harley!
I have no idea why she needs them. I just know that I'd face another plague to get them for her if I had to. Fortunately, it's a lot easier than that.
Comlink Harley, I say, pressing my Y-com. What?
Harley's voice asks impatiently in my ear.
Get your art box. Where's the hatch with the stars? There are a lot of doors and hatches and things down here, but they're all locked.
Go get us your art box first.
If I do, will you tell me which hatch leads to the stars?
Yep.
Done,
Harley says, and he disconnects the comlink.
What is that thing?
Amy asks me after a moment, when she's sure I'm done talking with Harley.
I thought you all had tiny headsets or something, but that's actually embedded in your skin, isn't it?
I brush my Wycom button with my fingers. It's a Wycom, wireless communication link.
Does it hurt?
I laugh. No.
So cool.
Amy exhales, leaning in. Her soft, warm breath tickles the hairs near my ear.
It's like a phone built into your ear.
Her fingers brush the raised skin over my Wycom. My breath catches. She's right in front of me, tantalizingly close. Amy bites her lip, and all I want to do is seize her, crush her against me, feel her lips with mine. Then she steps back, dropping her hand, an unreadable expression on her face.
Doc can, get you one if you like,
I say, trying to ignore how much I want to grab her and pull her back to me. Amy's hands fly to the side of her neck, below her left ear. Her fingers smooth the skin.
No, she says. I don't think I'd like one yet.
Harley shows up a few moments later. He dumps his art box at our feet. I can tell part of him just wants to run off and open the hatch to the stars. But he's also curious about what we'll do with his art stuff. For that matter, so am I. Amy rifles through the box, bypassing jars of paint, nubs of pencils, and scraps of paper. She finally pulls out a pile of charcoal wrapped in thin cloth. Then she smashes it on the ground.
Hey! Harley shouts. I have to make that myself!
I need the powder, Amy says, pulverizing the black bits of charcoal.
Why?
Amy grins.
Just watch.
After selecting one of Harley's loosest, biggest brushes, she runs the bristles through the black powder and then twirls the brush over the surface of the morgue door.
Please work. Please work. Please work,
she chants as she dusts the metal with a fine coat of powder. Her breath catches. The powder reveals the whirls and swirls of a fingerprint. Amy laughs.
Now, if there was only a simple way to tell whose fingerprint this was.
I'm one step ahead of her. Try this, I say, kneeling beside her with the floppy from the desk at the end of the aisle. I hold the digital membrane over the fingerprint and press scan. The print shows up on the display in seconds.
Now, I say, tapping on the screen, all I have to do is match this with the biometric scanners.
Wow, Amy says, under her breath. I grin at her. The floppy beeps.
Well?
Harley asks, leaning over my shoulder.
Mine. I was down here with Doc. That's my print.
It says eldest elder, Harley says, pointing to the screen. It could be eldest.
Amy looks up eagerly, but I shake my head. We have the same access in the computer. It always shows both our names on biometric scans. But I checked the Wycom locator map earlier, and he wasn't down here. That has to be my print.
Try some more,
Harley tells Amy, and she eagerly turns back to the door with her brush and powder. I scan every print she finds, but the only ones clear enough to scan are 4 of Doc's and 12 of mine. Most of the prints are smudged or overlapped to the point of uselessness.
Found another one,
Amy says, brushing charcoal dust over the top of the cryo chambers.
Is this you?
I don't remember touching there, I say. Amy's eyes glisten.
Maybe this is the murderer, she says, excitement creeping back into her voice.
I hold the floppy over the print and scan it in. The print is wide and fat, a thumb. A thin, jagged line slices its way through the whorls.
What's that?
Harley asks as the floppy zooms in on the print. Amy looks over my shoulder at it.
Maybe nothing, but it looks kind of like a scar, doesn't it?
Beep, beep, beep. The scan is done. Eldest Elder flashed the words over the thumbprint.
Another one of yours, Amy sighs, her face falling.
She turns back to the cryo chamber, but she brushes the charcoal dust across the surface as if it were achingly heavy.
You have a scar on your thumb? Harley asks.
I inspect my thumbs, even though I know there is no scar there connecting the ridges of my thumbprint.
He could have just had something on his thumb when he touched the cryo chamber, Amy says, without looking up. something that got between the surface and his thumb. But I hadn't touched there. I know I hadn't. Amy picks up the floppy. Are you sure? Absolutely sure that it couldn't be Eldest?
Positive. Right after we found Mr. Robertson, I checked the Wycombe locator map. He wasn't down here.
Amy blows air out of her nostrils like an angry bull. I still think he could have...
I'm already shaking my head, and Amy stops.
There's just no way. Even though Amy's right about his cruel personality, Eldest simply wasn't here when the murder happened. Amy throws the brush down in disgust.
So much for fingerprinting.
Sorry, I say absently, more distracted by who could have left the print, if it wasn't Eldest and it wasn't me. Harley snatches the floppy from my hand and throws it on the desk at the end of the aisle.
Can I see the hatch now?
He picks up his art box, and I notice that he's also brought along a fresh, albeit small, canvas.
If I open the hatch for you, will you spend the night down here and make sure no one messes with the Frozens?
Amy's smile is more than enough reason to ignore the voice in my head warning me that Eldest won't like me leaving Harley here alone.
Sure, Harley says. I tell Harley the location of the hatch and the access code as I retrieve the floppy he'd tossed away. Tapping quickly, I set up access approval for both him and Amy so they can come and leave the cryo level as they please, and I add in access for Amy to use floppies. Harley runs straight to the hatch as soon as I scan his thumbprint, not bothering to hide his eagerness. Amy's still laughing at him when I press her thumb into the scanner on the floppy. When she stops laughing, I realize I've been holding her thumb down for a full minute.
Sorry, I say, snatching my hand back.
Amy smiles at me.
Wanna go garden with me?
I ask all in one breath. My eyes grow wide. What came over me? Why would I blurt that out like that?
What?
Amy asks, her smile widening. She leans against the metal table behind her.
Want to see the garden?
I ask, speaking much slower than my heart is pounding.
With me?
She bites her lip, and although she doesn't look away from me, her gaze grows distant and unfocused. Her hands grip the edge of the table, and she looks as if she's afraid I'm going to drag her from this cold, dark place against her will. It's not hard to guess why. She wants to stay close to her parents. Her eyes flick to the right, where Harley ran off. She wants to see the stars, too. My heart sinks. How can I compete with that? Then her eyes focus on me again and she smiles.
Sure, she says.
And in her smile, I see something more beautiful than stars.